Welcome to the Gregory Neesmith Show podcast. Shout out to the underdogs, my people, and the occasional Trump supporter that might have accidentally found the show. You've made it to the right place if you want to get personal about the news and the culture. Please enjoy this mini episode of the Gregory Neesmith Show.
I actually came across an article the other week, and it was called The 36 Questions That lead to love. That's right. Only 36, not 72, not 13, not 7, not 65, but 36 questions that lead to love. And I read this article and it caught my attention. And I actually posted on Facebook this exact caption with a link to the article. And the caption I wrote was, "We should probably do these two things before hanging out with our Valentine. We should ask 36 questions and then awkwardly stare at them for a few minutes." And then I ended the caption with, "Who's going to do this before February 14th, Valentine's Day?" And what I'm referring to, these 36 questions, is actually something by psychologist Arthur Aaron, who conducted a study exploring if intimacy between two strangers can speed up them having a personal connection. Can they figure out whether or not there's a match? And the premise was that through what the psychologist calls mutual vulnerability, this idea of two people leaning in and sharing their thoughts, their heart, their soul, can that actually lead to or create closeness? And can it create it like quickly on top of that? And the questions are broken down into three sets of questions. Each set, there's three of them, gets more personal and more personal and then really, really, really personal. And I posted this, and to my somewhat shock, there was a lot of chatter about it. A lot of comments, some questions, some likes. And I wanted to read a few of them because to kick off the show, and this is underdog stuff here, one of the things I've learned, like in the steps of going from underdog to contender to champ, is that one of the things that's worked for me personally is what I call this whole idea of get new friends. To me, we've all heard the different phrases, "You are the company you keep," "Show me who you roll with, I'll show you who you are." All those sayings, cliches, quotes to me are in the spirit of, you know, you kind of are who you hang around. You know, that idea, we are what we eat. Who are you getting your energy from, your support from? Who's inspiring you? And so this idea of getting new friends is to me one of the major tips of going from underdog to champ. And it can be beyond just your friendships. It can be who you do business with. And to me, one of the most important relationships I know in my life, and I'm sure in yours, it's who you love and that romantic love, like who you spending your time with, who you being intimate with. So this is a big deal. You can't go out here and make stuff happen in the world if there is a certain toxicity, a certain sadness in the relationship that you might be in romantically. So for me, I've sucked at love and relationships. I will be transparent about that. I've had my moments, but for the most part, I have not been that good at it. And so I bring all this up to say, for those who may go, 36 questions lead to love, that ain't gonna work, I would say to you, if what you've been doing ain't working, it might be time to be open to something else. You know, the definition of insanity is when we do things over and over and over again and expect a different result. So for those who might be hating already, going 36 questions can't lead to nothing, I'm just saying, if what you've been doing ain't been working, you might want to at least listen to me for a second and just be open to it and give it a try. With that, though, I had a couple folks comment. Some underdogs had comments about my post on the 36 questions that lead to love. And also in the experiment, not only do you ask each other those 36 questions, and then at the end, once you're both done answering them, and this is with someone that you've just met, you're then supposed to stare at them or stare at each other for 2 to 4 minutes. that feels awkward. But hey, you know, I guess it's science. But a couple comments. Anitra goes, I don't know about this, LOL, basically going, she's not buying it. Heidi was like, I oddly like it. You know, and to me, there's nothing odd about it. If you like it, you like it. Concetta says, this is pretty interesting. I really do agree with this article. All right. So far, so good. Shout out to my man Rudy, who goes, I read this in a book called How to Live a Good Life by Jonathan Fields. He said it was a good book. He said he hasn't done the 36 questions, though. He always tells himself that he's going to wait and break them out if he meets a girl that he feels is the one. Okay, I ain't mad at you, Rudy. When you meet that one, you better break out these 36 questions. Then shout out to Eric, who goes, I'm really digging the vibe you and I have. And then he goes, dot, dot, dot. Now I can ask you these questions like you're on 2020 interview. And then the woman, he goes, says no. And he's like, okay, here goes. Joking, of course. And I think Eric makes an awesome point, which he goes, even if you're up for these 36 questions, how do you just be on a first or second date and be like, hey, by the way, I got these 36 questions already printed out. Do you want to go through them with me? That would feel a little awkward. Shout out to Eric. That's a good point. Now, I didn't come up with the 36 questions. I think they probably need a follow-up article which says if you want to do it, how different ways to bring it up. But interesting point. And then Ashley Arthur goes, I did this with one of my girlfriends when we had nothing to do. It was absolutely works, even beyond romantic relationships, which is cool. She says maybe try the 36 questions with anyone in your life that you want to establish a new level of closeness and vulnerability with. So with that, in the spirit of that, I know we're not about to have a romantic relationship with each other on the radio here, but we do have a relationship. I'm in your homes or on your smartphones and your laptops. You're in my ear and on Facebook Live and stuff like that. So we have a relationship. So I'm putting a challenge out there. And for those listening to the podcast right now, because you weren't available on Sunday, you can tweet me at Gregory Neesmith on Twitter. That's at Gregory Neesmith. And the question I have for you is, are you going to try these 36 questions? And the article is in the New York Times called The 36 Questions That Lead to Love. All right. I'm going to go from set one. These are the 36 questions that lead to love. Supposedly, we share with someone. Increasing levels of vulnerability can lead to closeness. And within a matter of 36 questions, we can maybe figure out if we're a fit. And then afterwards, we're supposed to stare at each other. And on the radio, it's hard for me to stare at you and you stare at me. But when you try this with someone in your life, make sure you end the 36 questions by staring at them for 2 to 4 minutes. All right. Set one. There's 12 questions. Let's see. Drum roll, please. That's my best drum roll impression. Number 7. Oh, that's a tough question. I don't know if I want to do this on it. Number 7 is, for anybody who's following along, if you're at home now, Google 36 questions that lead to love. The 36 questions will pop up. I just randomly looked at number 7. It says, do you have a secret hunch about how you will die? And this is in set one. They say the questions get more personal as you go on. Like the 7th question, we already talking about death? All right, I'll play along so we can get to know each other. Do I have a secret hunch about how I will die? I don't, but I think I'm hopeful that it'll be peaceful and something that's not that painful. That hopefully I've lived a long time. I think they say average age is like 80 something. So hopefully I made it past the average and that I die in my sleep maybe, and that hopefully before I went to bed that night that I got to say I love you to the people who are in my life that I love, and hopefully I didn't go to sleep that night still angry or not having forgiven myself or somebody for something. Ooh, I'm feeling vulnerable already. All right, if you're listening or you're watching online, do you have an answer to that question? Do you have a secret hunch about how you will die? Let's go back in. It's still set one. This is the first 12 of these 36 questions. Supposedly, it gets more personal. To me, that was personal already. All right, let me look for another one here. Mind you, I haven't looked at all of these 36. So I'm going to now pick another one. Let's go. This is a good one. Number 12. So we're still in set one of three sets of questions, the 36 questions that lead to love. The psychologist said that if we get increasing levels of vulnerability with someone we just met, we can see whether or not we're a good fit. And I had a bunch of you comment about it. Definitely seems like something worth trying for romance, but what about for some of our friendships? What about for people we're trying to figure out whether we should be business partners with them? Maybe this can be good for that too. And maybe it can be good for us because we're doing it together so we can get to know each other better. All right. Number 12, if you could wake up tomorrow having gained any one quality or ability, what would it be? If you could wake up with a superpower, if you could be like Black Panther or something like that, either the real ones or the ones in the movie. I'm ad-libbing now. The 36 questions doesn't mention Black Panther. That was me. The 36 questions that lead to love. Number 12 is, if you could wake up tomorrow having gained any one quality or ability, what would it be? 212-650-6903 or the Facebook Live, facebook.com/GregoryNeesmith. What one quality or ability, if you could wake up tomorrow morning with it, what would it be? This is hard. I got to think of an answer right here on the fly. All right, what quality or ability? All right, I think I'm going to go with first something that is like an actual characteristic or personality trait, and then maybe my second answer will be something that's like a fun superhero power. I'd say if I could wake up with an ability or a quality tomorrow, I think just an overall fearlessness. Or actually, you know what it would be? To not overthink so much. Like, I have a tendency to get real pensive and think about this move and that move and what is this person going to say and what if that doesn't happen? And, you know, in the spirit of, like, romance, out on a date, like, oh, should I go for the first kiss now? Should I wait? Like, you know, just I think a lot. I'm thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking. And sometimes it's just best to, like, act and live and go with the flow. So I wish I could wake up with a bit more of... I'm thinking of Cat Williams. He might call it just a little bit more effort, but actually just wake up with a little bit more boldness, a little bit more carefreeness in my spirit and not always think or overthink things so much. And then if I could have a superpower, I think it would be, I was going to say see the future, but I'm like, I don't know if I want to see the future because I might see some things and I don't even want to know what's going to happen. So I think it would be to, like, be able to fly, because then maybe I'd be a professional basketball player and I just have to keep my superpowers, like, on the low. But that means I could, like, dunk, and then if I need to go someplace, I could just fly there myself. Wouldn't have to get a ticket. I'd just fly to Bali for the weekend because I could fly like Superman or something like that. What one quality or ability would you want to wake up with tomorrow? I share. Your turn. But I hope that they're still listening, but even if they aren't, I wanted to shout them out. Nicole and Don both answered the question, which is question number 12 from the 36 questions that lead to love. And the question was, if you could wake up tomorrow having gained any one quality or ability, what would it be? And I'm just moved by Don's answer. Is just like, wow. Don writes, he'd want to have the ability to know when a loved one is about to die, so that he could actually then go spend as much time as possible with them before they pass. Shout out to Don. The reason why I'm a little emotional is that earlier when one of the questions was about the hunch about how you would die, I talked about hoping to die peacefully in my sleep and know that I went to bed saying I love you to the people who I love, and then also going to bed that night, and then if I didn't wake up knowing that I didn't go to bed angry at myself or other people, like there was a sense of forgiveness and being a calm. And so Don's ability or quality that he would want to wake up with is just so special, because how often do we say, I wish I would have spent more time with that person, or I wish that I would have gotten a chance to talk to them before they passed away? Shout out to Don. Appreciate you, man. And shout out to Nicole, who says her superpower ability she'd want to wake up with is be able to read people's minds. Nicole, you sure about that? You sure you want to know what everybody's thinking? Because we, you know, as humans, we have thoughts that go from deranged to like utopic, sometimes within milliseconds. So I don't know. You might find out more than you want to know if you can read everybody's mind. You might have to have a filter on that. All right, let's pick another question from the set. We're going into set two. Now we're getting even more personal. All right, I'm going to randomly pick a question here. Is there, number 14, is there something that you've dreamed of doing for a long time? Why haven't you done it? Ooh. Underdogs. Oh, this is a good one. Question number 14. This is in the category of woulda, shoulda, coulda. I've been thinking about, I'm planning to, someday, one day, kind of, sort of, eventually. Is there something you've dreamed of doing for a long time? Why haven't you done it? I have been dreaming for a long time to, I'll do one that's kind of career focused, and I'll do one that's very personal, family focused. So one thing I've been dreaming of doing for a long time is being on TV as like a correspondent, so, or as a guest on a panel. So let's say CNN is talking about the underdogs running for office in some particular campaign, and my dream would be that they would call me and I would come on somebody's show on CNN or MSNBC, Fox News, and I would be one of the panelists to talk about how to go from underdog to being a champ, some of the tips and things that work for me and work for you that we can share. And my dream is to, like, yeah, I'm like, I can be on TV. I can talk about stuff and do it just as well or better than some of the people on there doing it. And then why haven't I done it? Because I've been scared. Fear, doubt, do I look the part? Do I know enough? Why would they pick me when they could pick somebody else? And then, like, little things like, are my teeth right? Do I need braces? Can, you know, gotta wear makeup? Just so a bit of discomfort, self-doubt, something different. Will I be good enough? Just so those have been some of the reasons why I haven't done it, but I've dreamed about it for a long time. The good news is I dreamed about having a radio show for almost 3 decades, too, and had some of those same thoughts and doubts. And I have to keep reminding myself that I got over that to do what we're doing and right now, and that I get to get over my doubt when it comes to TV. Another thing I've dreamed of doing for a long time, too, is taking a trip out of the country with my parents. I was blessed to get a job where it demanded some travel out of the country, and that's what triggered me getting a passport for the first time in my mid-20s. And, you know, I know that I wasn't alone and I didn't have one. I think about 2/3, almost 60-something% of Americans don't have an active passport. So that means most of us, most of you people listening right now, can't even leave the country to take a trip. And a lot of folks in my family don't have passports, and I was grateful enough to get one and still have it. And I think one of the things I've dreamed about is taking my parents. We go on a trip out of the country together. We used to always go to Myrtle Beach growing up. And I've dreamed about taking them to like a Caribbean beach. And we leave the country. And so why haven't I? I think just the thought of like, well, would they want to go? what about all the paperwork and administrative stuff that we got to take care of? And, you know, those are just all considerations and excuses that I get to get over. But those are some of my answers to that question, which was number 14. Is there something that you've dreamed of doing for a long time, and why haven't you done it? This is a great underdog stuff question. Why? What's something you haven't done, and why? Don't be shy. I didn't mean to make that rhyme, but it did. I'm not mad at that.
Thank you for listening to the Gregory Neesmith Show podcast, where we get personal about the news and the culture. And as always, I leave you with my favorite quote. Underdogs, can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody. Peace.